All right, let's look at the Bible now, 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's stand as we'll be reading from verse 7 to verse 11. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, I'll read verse 7, you read verse 8, and so on until verse 11, all right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible reads, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer." Verse 8.
"And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Use hospitality one with unto another, without grudging." Verse 10.
"As every man hath received a gift, even so may we serve the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God."
Verse 11, let's read together. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the Apostle Peter teach, we know, Lord, this is your very words. Help us to be serious-minded, to consider all the things that you are going to tell us through your word. I pray you hide me behind the cross, and that the words spoken, Lord, will not be my thinking, my words, but your words. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take every heart, and Lord, apply your word and change that soul for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today we're going to look at the passage from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Last week we kind of looked at the other two passages because it talks about suffering. But today we'll look at what 1 Peter has to say. All right? We'll begin straight in verse 7. The Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand." But the end of all things is at hand. I'm just thinking of illustration of sudden endings. Okay? And, you know, I was in my mind. How many of you have seen maybe the YouTube video? There was this YouTube video about the Japanese people during the time of the Second World War. It was a nice sunny day on Hiroshima, about 8:40 a.m. in Hiroshima in 1945. And all of them were just going about their own things. Little did they know, that morning, a B-52 bomber has taken off from one of the airports on the way to Hiroshima to drop the atomic bomb. And so all the Japanese were just going on, the soldiers were marching, children were going to school. And about 8:40 plus, I believe, there was this big, or rather big, or this pill, this metallic tube falling from the sky. And everyone was just kind of looking up there, not knowing what was going to happen. For all of us who have seen what devastation an atomic bomb can do when it dropped, for the next 10 kilometers, everyone in this path was destroyed. The people didn't know that that day was their end. And they were not prepared for it. When Peter wrote, "But the end of all things is at hand," Peter had three things possibly in mind. Number one, he was speaking about the second coming. All the apostles believed Jesus was coming soon, in their lifetime. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. But the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and they which are dead in Christ shall rise first. We who shall alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Paul encouraged the Thessalonian Christians saying, Jesus is going to come. He's going to come. And all of them actually believe in the second coming. And so Peter also believed that Jesus was coming soon. All right? That could be a first possibility. But number two, there was a possible sense of the shortness of life. The Bible says here, Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. No one can predict we'll live the next day. No one can say, no matter how young you are, you cannot guarantee you will live the next day. Did you realize that all of us, the fact that we can live another day is just God's grace? For us to live another day. Okay, even young children, I just remember many years ago, there was this boy, I think you all may remember, I think two boys who rode bicycle in Tampines, was hit by a lorry and killed. Right? See, even the young children remember. Right? Was he remembering that? Yes? Okay. So he was killed, 8 years old. He was just cycling. I think he was bringing, the older boy was bringing his brother home. And they were cycling, right? And he was hit by a lorry. Both died. The mom didn't know it was a, life is short. The Bible says, in James chapter 4, verse 14, you have the verses inside there. Okay, I'll just read it. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. When James was writing that, he says, our life is like the dew. Or rather, Peter wrote later, but our life is like the dew. In the morning, there's dew. But a few hours after that, when the sun comes, the dew disappears. That's how short our life is. You know, it is scary to me that many people put off decisions for Jesus Christ thinking they still have time. It's absolutely scary to me because the Bible teaches our life is short. But you know, probably the third reason is in Peter's mind. When he says the end of all things is at hand, he's saying there's a possibility that some of you hearing my words are going to die for Jesus Christ. Those of us who have been following through the messages in 1 Peter, Peter was writing to a suffering church. Emperor Nero has just decided every Christian will die. Okay? The Romans are going to come in to destroy the entire nation of Israel in the next 6 years. And so as Peter wrote this, he says, look, the end of all things is at hand. The possibility of martyrdom. He says, some of you Christians are going to be arrested. You are going, for the sake of Jesus Christ, you are going to be imprisoned. You are going to face torture and persecution, and they are going to execute you. If you read the passage before and passage after, it's all about suffering. And Peter, as a Jewish Christian, as the general of the faith, is encouraging these Jewish believers, you are going to go through that. It says the end of all things is at hand. The Jewish Christians was going to face the prospect of death. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, all three tell us one thing. Time is short. Time is short. In July 2015, I started preparing Esther Joy for her PSLE. It's over. 18 months gone. Some of you are in courses and say, oh, I'm going through the grind. But then 2 years later, it's finished. I just saw a friend on Facebook and she was all the tears and the hardship. She just got her PhD, one of my colleagues. It was a 3-4 year course. It's just over. Christians don't ever think that you have another day. Time is short. Today's message is living life with a sense of urgency. And I'm convinced that all of us Christians are living on what we call. Have you heard the phrase living on borrowed time? In other words, the time is not yours. You're just borrowing just to do something. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. The verse redeeming the time means the time is given to you. You need to buy back every moment. Do you realize? Some of you who may fall asleep during the message, I urge you to keep awake as much as you can. Go wash your face, whatever. You need to buy back the time. You may never hear this message again. Maybe on the internet. You need to buy back the time. Redeem the time. Some of the children that come for VBS, we may never see them again. So we bought back the time, we put them aside, we shared with them the gospel, we may never see them again. In fact, there were two, I told you before during the Sunday school, that their parents don't want them to ever get involved in Christianity. So we only had one chance during VBS, and we shared with them the gospel. So that one day when they stand before God, they cannot say, no one told them the gospel. And we have the blood off our hands. Time is short. Time is short. There is limited time. We need to be redeeming, buying back the time, because the days are evil. The phrase, the days are evil, means you will never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So whatever time you have now, do it. Some of us are spending too much time sleeping. Some are really spending too much time doing other things that don't count for eternity. When Jesus Christ comes back, life is over. You know, we always want to rest. We live in a busy society. But no, we need to realize that time is short. The days are evil means we will never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So whatever time you have now, whatever thy hand findeth to do, children, thy might then, for there is no work, no advice, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grain whither thou goest. King Solomon says, look, whatever thy hand find, do your might now. Because when you die, what's the plan for? Time is short. So in view that time is short, Peter gives three things that as Christians we need to do. How do we live with a sense of urgency? Let me ask you, are you urgent about life? Are you urgent about the fact that your life is short? And if you are, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? Really, what are you doing with your life? You know, honestly, many Christians don't realize we're living on borrowed time. You can die tomorrow. I can die tomorrow. I can die in the next 1 hour. Right, thank God I'll be dying in the pulpit, so I at least, you know. But if my heart is not right, Christian, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? And I believe Peter telling the Jewish Christians, look, the end of all things is at hand. You guys are going to die. Possibly. Either that or your life is short, or Jesus may come back. The reason why I believe Peter gives the reason, because look at the verse, but the end of all things is at hand, verse 7, be ye therefore. The reason for the following instructions was because time is short. Therefore. Three things that I believe God teaches us so that we can live with a sense of urgency. Number one, therefore be sober. Be sober. The word sober has the idea of being serious-minded about things. Being serious-minded. I'm not very chalat in Singapore. We are so stressed. Do you realize, I was just watching some TV sometime, do you realize a lot of the programs today is about making people laugh on TV. Gags. What else? By the way, sometimes gags are very filthy. You need to be very careful. Okay? What else? The what? No, no, no. We're talking about programs that make people laugh.
Those are satires.
A talk show, then they love this, and everyone will ha, ha 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 ha, right? Because we're so stressed about life. But Brother Johnny, right, a Christian, we have to be serious-minded also. And then you cannot laugh. I didn't say cannot laugh. But God did say He wants us to be sober-minded because we need to take time. There's nothing wrong with laughing. In fact, in Australia, they have something called laughing therapy. You know what's laughing therapy? Everyone just come together and they start laughing for 10-15 minutes. And they're supposed to release things, I don't know. It's laughing therapy. Nothing wrong with laughing. Nothing wrong with having a good time. In fact, we had a good time during the VBS. All right, we had good times in our family devotions. We'll laugh about things. We'll tell funny stories and all that kind of thing. Of course, we need to focus on the word. All right, but we do have a good time. Is it possible that some Christians have come to the stage where they're so stressed? Or they no longer think seriously about, oh, never mind, lah, just take what. Take each day as it comes. Peter says, number one, we need to be sober. Therefore, be sober and watch unto prayer. The word sober has to do with thinking seriously. The word watch has to do with a disciplined mind. Interesting, huh? It has to do with a mind that looks at things from a serious perspective. He looks at life. And so as Peter was telling the Jewish Christians, at the end of all things at hand, you need to be sober. In other words, don't just go doing what you want. Time is short. You need to be aware of the things that are happening around you. Okay, so how are we to think according to Peter? There are two things. I'll just read in Proverbs 27 verse 1. Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, one way of thinking is, don't think you have another day to do what you're supposed to do. Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest what a day may bring forth. None of us can guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow. We need to think like that. We need to live today as if it's our last. Let me ask you, if this is the last day you have to live, what would you do? And the next day you know you'll stand before God. I heard a joke once. The angel Gabriel came to this guy and said, you've got 36 hours to live. You better go and do all that you need to do. What would you do if you've got 36 hours to live? Hey God, sorry. I took my leave for next 2 weeks to go to Switzerland. Can you extend that a bit? You apply for extension. Sorry, God, there's no extension. You only have 36 hours. What would you do with your life if you've got 36 hours? Did you realize that there is nothing on God's timetable that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus Christ to come back? I'm not saying don't do your duties, but I'm saying God says, don't think you have more time to do tomorrow when you need to do today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We need to think clearly. Just now we read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, do it all thy might. That was a theme verse for the VBS. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We need to realize time is short. There needs to be a sense of urgency. We need to think. We need to watch that every moment we have, we may be lost. There needs to be a sense of urgency. We need to be watching unto prayer. Be sober, serious thinking, and watch unto prayer. You know, I was thinking on this, and this passage came to me, which I believe. Let's turn to a belief that Peter may be reflecting on his experience and what Jesus was teaching. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew, okay? We'll be parking there for a while. But let me just look at the verse, watching unto prayer. What does Peter mean to watch unto prayer? The word watch means to, it has the idea of a sentry, a soldier, looking out for possible oncoming enemies. Okay? Watching on for oncoming enemies, possible oncoming enemies. This watching unto prayer has a meaning with the end coming, the coming persecution, the life may end itself. Have your mind focused and thinking clearly. A believer in Christ who realizes the seriousness of the hour or any situation will turn our dependencies on God through prayer. There are a few things that are happening in the last days. We need to watch. Number one, the Bible says the last days will be dangerous. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, the Bible said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I don't know about you, but I will not allow my daughters to walk, to go and buy things, unless it's very broad daylight, unless I know where they are. Because in my house void deck, there have been molestation cases, there have been robberies. We live in dangerous times. Some of you who send your children to public school, it's a dangerous place. Some of you young people know what I'm talking about. Or some of you go to institutes of higher learning. You will be exposed to things that you're not supposed to be exposed to. And as parents, if you don't watch, the soul of your child will perish. Jeremiah, the camp master, had to deal with many campers that their lips are foul. primary school children. Dangerous times. The last days will be sleepy times for believers. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. I'll just read, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Paul is telling the Thessalonian Christians, look, we are living in darkness. Don't sleep. But let us watch and be sober. Seems that God has a continuous thought there for the different apostles to remind the Christian. The last days will be sleepy times. Not many Christians are interested about spiritual things. They're more interested in their own life and living, about their own duties. Nothing wrong with that. But God has a higher purpose for every Christian. And Christians, if your life is, you're not interested about spiritual things, and you're saying, no, I've got to do this, but you forget what God wants you to do, or perhaps God has a will for you, and you say, no, not now, Lord. We may slip into spiritual slumber. The last days are also faithless times. Luke 18, verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus says, when I come, am I going to find people hot and loving me and doing what I tell them to do and serving me and praying? In Luke 18, that's the context whereby will Jesus find people begging God still? You know that, you know it's sad that some children can even tell you, I don't believe in God at a young age. Where'd that come from? Dangerous times, faithless times. You know, as much as we have 700 churches in Singapore, why aren't we as a nation influencing our nation for God? I'm serious. If truly we are all filled with the Holy Spirit, Singapore is different. But why is it? Because God says the end days will be faithless times. And some of us don't even live by faith. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't live life consistent to be as Christians. The last days will be loveless days. Days without love. Days without care and concern. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because sin or iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Some of you experience that in your office. That people are more concerned about themselves and their own promotion than about whether you know how to do your work. And if you ask for help, they ask you to get lost. I've got no time for you. But some of you in schools get bullied. It's very sad to see children getting bullied. It's very sad for us to be bullied by our bosses or whoever. Loveless times. You know, it's sad that people don't really care. You know, when it's really sad when two cars hit, the first thing the driver wants to know is how badly their car is hurt, rather than whether the other person is hurt. Right? It's sad. I think I shared before, there was this guy, he was from Malaysia. I was driving the van, and because it was a dark night, there was a car in front, I think it was an Audi or BMW, and the Malaysian car motorcycle skidded a bit and hit a little bit at the back. It wasn't serious. The guy fell. And then the driver came out. You know what's the first thing? He didn't look at the guy, he looked at his car. Oh, my heart sank. This is the type of society we live in. It may not depict everyone, I want to be fair. But you know, isn't it sad? That you see this car on the floor, the first thing you check is your own car? Loveless times. Christians, we need to rise above all this. You know, sometimes in churches we have that too. God forbid. These are loveless times. When we think of the type of environment we are in, are we watching? Or we say, no choice, Lord, if everyone like that, you know, you can't beat them, you. Join them. A Christian should never say that. Because a Christian has a God that's able to influence. You know, many Christians say, if everyone's like that, then what's the point of me? I've heard that so many times. If everyone don't serve, why should I? You should serve because someone needs Jesus Christ. So that's all the answer I give you. Yeah, think about that for a while. We need to carry the slogan as a Christian, if I don't, no one else will. We have an attitude as Christians. Why should I, when no one else is doing, we need to change that. You know what Jesus says? Why don't you do it? And you do it because you love Christ and you love that person. We need to have a slogan, Lord, if I don't, no one else will. God, strengthen me. God, help me. God, help me put away my... Because these are loveless times and I need to pray for your help. Time is short. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, which is the passage I... What do you mean by watch unto prayer? In Matthew 26, verse 36, you know, Peter said, watch unto prayer. It may be that when he wrote this, his mind was taken back to the time when Jesus told him, watch and pray. And he did not. And he failed miserably. You know, and the more I thought through this a whole week, and I believe God wants us to really understand this. In Matthew 26, verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Jesus was going to face the most tremendous trial of his life. He's going to face the cross. He's going to face separation from his dad. He is going to face the biggest trial of his life. The Bible says later in verse 37, and he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. When his trial was heavy upon him, he needed some Christian fellowship. He needed his disciples to be there with him. Why? He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. It was heavy, the trial. Jesus knew his time was limited. He has a sense of urgency. There was time he needed people to encourage him. He asked Peter, James, and John, would you come with me? They came. Guess what? In verse 38, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further. You can have Christian fellowship with you, but the trial that God puts in your life, you have to bear yourself. Does it make sense? When Jesus faced the trial, he needed a Christian fellowship. Some Christians only want Christian fellowship when they go to trial. But understand this, you have to face the trial that God puts on you yourself. You can have the encouragement. Christian, we have to understand this. So as we go on in verse 20, he told the in verse 38, watch with me. Verse 9, and he went a little further. Jesus fell on his face. How did Jesus meet the trial of his life? In prayer. In humility before God. We who want Christians around us all the time, God says no. You can depend on them for encouragement, but you got to face your fellowship, or rather the trial of your life, because I need to deal with your soul. And this was, as Jesus was there, he went a little further, fell on his face, prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but thou wilt. And Jesus saw, and he came to his disciples. Guess what they were doing? They were... kind of like VBS, the overnight camp. Were there anyone snoring? Probably they were all too tired to even hear. The Bible said the disciples were sleeping. Notice what Jesus said to them. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can't you tahan a bit? The disciples were under two influences. Number one, they were under the influence of the darkness. Did you realize why mothers dim their lights for the baby? Why do you dim the lights when it's time to sleep for the baby? It is to prepare them for sleep. Do you know one of the most frustrating things as a soldier? It's when you have to be on alert at night, when it's all dark. Because darkness tells your brain it is time to sleep. Oh, Brother Johnny, the disciples were asleep. They had a long day of work, you know. I mean, the VBS working, a long day of work. Of course, it's okay to sleep, right? Is it wrong to sleep? No, it's not wrong to sleep. In fact, if you're tired, you need to rest. Unless there is something urgent that is happening. During times of war, it is said that an infantry soldier, a good infantry soldier, can live 3 days, 72 hours without sleep. Why? Because during times of war, if they are not paying attention, they can die. And so with that thought in mind, the adrenaline, I watched one Love War movie, it's The Tour of Duty. This black guy, it's 9 o'clock at night, they had news. They only had one platoon, okay, which is about 30 to 35 men during the Vietnam War. And the whole regiment of Viet Cong was going to attack that base that night. A regiment is about 7,000, about 3,000 soldiers. It's going to overwhelm, you know, with that in mind. It was night, it was dark. And guy was on his machine gun. His eyes, he was black, you know. So the significance was even greater. When he opened his eyes, it's even clearer. And it was very clear that if I don't pay attention, I will die and my soldier friends will die too. Dear friends, with a sense of urgency in your life, is your eyes open to the serious spiritual dangers around us? Peter that night said, is it wrong for me to sleep? No, it wasn't wrong. But Peter, can't you see I'm going through a difficult time? Can't you just be with me? They were under the influence of the environment. Number two, they were under the influence of the flesh. They were tired and they gave in. But Brother Johnny, once again, is it wrong to sleep? No. But what motivates your life? Your flesh? Or something more important? I'm thankful for brethren who say despite their tiredness, they're still going out soul winning. And as a result, today we have people coming to church because they went out soul winning and left a booklet. And they could, maybe we can lead them to the truth of God. But Brother Johnny, this few and far between, God never asked us that He never promised that many people will come, but He does want us to be faithful. I know brethren share me, Brother Johnny, it's so tiring, but I know I've got to go because someone else may just need that track to find the truth. And so as they go on, watch and pray. That's what Peter said. Peter, you are going to go through the biggest trial of your life soon. The Lord Jesus have already settled that in Gethsemane. Remember He said, not my will but thine be done. He's already settled that with God. But now He is concerned for Peter and He's saying, Peter, you are going to face the greatest trial of your life. You are going to deny me when I'm arrested. Peter, are you ready for that? Peter, I have faced my own trial with God. Peter, you need to watch and pray. The people are coming now. That's why He said, watch and pray. You need to stay awake and pray, Peter. You are going to face the trial of your life. And after saying that, Jesus went away to pray again, right? He went three times. You know, after the three times, first time He came back, Peter and the disciples were still sleeping. You can't wait for me? Come on, let's go. Jesus went away to pray, they went back to sleep. Did they listen to Jesus? No. Second time Jesus went, third time Jesus went and came back. You know, the third time Jesus came back, you know what He said? Sleep on now. You know what He's saying? You've already lost the war. The one that will be coming to arrest me is coming. There's nothing else you can do now. There comes a time when time and time again, when you're sleeping in your Christian life and you are not watching out, and concerned brethren is messaging you, live for God, walk with God. And concerned brethren, it comes a time, Christian, that Jesus says, sleep on now. It's too late. Sometimes we think God will give us forever. I'm sorry. Many times in the scriptures, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. Genesis chapter 6. Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Luke chapter 9, when Jesus prophesied, "How often, Jerusalem, will I gather you as a hen gathers his chicks, but ye would not. Behold, you are going to be destroyed by the Roman army." Jesus prophesies that. There comes a time, Christians, if you keep giving excuses, you don't watch unto prayer. When Peter said, when Jesus told Peter, "Watch and pray," Peter did not take heed. Guess what? When the soldiers come, listen, there was an arrest that's going to happen. What did Peter do? He used fleshly means, the knife, to try to save Jesus, yes? And he cut off the ear, the right ear, Malchus' ears. And Jesus said, "Hey, wait, my kingdom is not of this world." Peter, you are using the wrong approach to your problem solving. Guess what? Peter in fear fled. And then later on, three times, he denied Jesus Christ. Some of you as Christians have denied Jesus Christ in your relationships. You have denied Jesus Christ in your walk with God. I don't know where, I don't know what. But you know in your heart you have denied Jesus. Your career is more important. Your life with your friends is more important. You have denied Jesus because you did not watch unto prayer. Peter, with this background of Matthew 24 and 26 and all his experiences, came and tell the Jewish Christians the time is at hand. You are going to face the trial of your life. Because Jewish Christians, Peter as a general of the faith is telling you, "I've been there before. I failed miserably before. I denied the Savior that bought me. I don't want you to go through the same thing. So watch unto prayer." Does that make sense? Christians, you need to walk with God. You need to watch. I'm not saying don't take into account what's happening and then apply God's principles to what decisions you're supposed to make. Some of us are too lax in our spiritual decision making. We don't even take time to search the scriptures and listen to what Jesus has to say. First Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Are you asleep in your Christian life? If we continue without watching, we are most likely going to end up like Peter, denying Jesus Christ in your life. Some of you have already done that. But you know what? There's always hope with Peter, amen? Because Jesus forgave him and Jesus reused him. But Peter has to acknowledge, "I failed." You need to confess that sin, give it up, and come back to Jesus Christ. Are you watching unto prayer, Christian? Are you watching unto prayer? You know, that night, not just Peter, I don't want to just pin everything on Peter. Do you realize not only Peter denied him, everyone else, every one of the disciples did too. They all fled. All of them ran away. Can I ask you, will you be watching unto prayer? Will you be so serious, Lord? Times are short. I'm just going to watch unto prayer. Number two. With a sense of urgency, number one, we need to be sober, watching unto prayer. Number two, we need to be loving one another. In verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." Time is short that you have with your relationships. You guys are going to die. Treasure one another while there's still life. That's what Peter is trying to encourage the Jewish Christians. Remember, Peter was at the Last Supper. What did Jesus teach them? Serve one another, wash each other's feet. Jesus also teach them, whatever I do to you, do to one another, to love one another, to wash your feet. And then he gave the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. You know what? Peter is just drawing from what the Savior taught them and teaching the church. You need to have above all things. Yeah, as you are sober, as you are serious-minded about all the things that are happening, as you are watching unto prayer, make sure your heart don't be overcome with fear, but to have love for the people that are closest to you, the Christian brethren. He says, that above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And one of the devotions that I gave during the VBS, the second day, was, you know, I was reflecting on the fact that everyone is very busy and very tired with doing the things. And I shared a devotion on Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, King David's heart was for the nation of Israel to be united in that passage. My point to the VBS workers is, as you serve and you are busy, don't forget to love one another. Don't forget to look out for one another, because we are serving Jesus together. Sometimes we are so focused on the work, we forget we are Christians serving, needing to love one another. Someone may be sick, we need to reach out, we need to ask, we need to be concerned, we need to say, hey, are you okay? Or you need to bring a cup of water or something to show that we love one another. That's what Peter was telling these Christians. You guys have short time. Have, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Because charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one with another without grudging. In the last days, according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, let me just read there. Just want to just use that in application. In the last days, this also know that perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're going to be selfish in the last days. In Matthew 24, verse 12, because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, I shared before, but for many years, I just preached the love of many shall wax cold, and everyone will be cold. And I realized the word wax, no wax, you know when you wax your car, you put a film of something over your car to make it shiny, right? You wax it over. The word wax means to be influenced by. Because sin shall abound, the love of many shall be affected by the environment. Have you ever seen cartoons whereby they have this thing called the love dust? And then there was this, maybe this male cat and this female cat, they absolutely hate one another. And then the angel or whoever blows the love dust. Then suddenly the male who hate the girl, you are so pretty. You get influenced. Now, this is just cartoon, by the way. But do you know, there is an influence over the church. There's an influence over all the primary school, VBS, and even, I can assure you, even the young people that will come. There's an influence of sin. There's influence of selfishness. There's an influence of the wrong type on our young people today. In the adults, there's an influence of, you need to get more money. You need to get career. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? There's this influence of, don't judge. There's this influence of things that go against the very word of God. There's an influence. Many Christians are cold. Why? Because of an influence. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In Luke 17, verse 1, then said he, unto, it is impossible that, but that offenses will come. When we don't love one another, we start offending one another. And now Peter was actually addressing the Jewish church, and one of the problems was they were basically they were getting easily offended by one another. Oh, you said that, huh? Or that kind of thing, you know. He said, but the offenses will come, but warn to him to whom they come. You know what Jesus says? I mentioned last week, I think I say it again. In your life you will be offended. Because Jesus said so. So you have a choice. If you're offended, what do? You get offended back? Or you offend back? Or you let fervent charity take over? In Proverbs 19, verse 11, God gave the rule, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So what if someone sinned against me? You know what Peter is telling them? So what if someone sins against you? Let the hot love you have for one another cover. You know, it's amazing that very good friends when one of the good friends, very good friend, let's say very close friend, did something wrong to that person, how quickly they'll be, no, man, don't worry about it, small matter, just $1 million, it's okay. You know, that's okay. Of course, that person probably is a billionaire or whatever. It's how quickly so-called close friends can just excuse one another's sin. In fact, close friend will defend the other person who may do wrong, sometimes. Oh, that's blind love already. You know what's genuine love? You offended me and it was a real offense. And I will still say, it's okay. I love you. It's okay. But you have to take the hurt, you have to take the pain, you have to take the sacrifice, you have to take all the inconveniences, but you still say, it's okay. That's biblical love. That's biblical fervent charity that you know ambassador needs to have. That even though you offend me, it's okay. What? You mean it's so easy? That's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. If someone offends you, take it to the cross. Now, we need to be careful. Some people will say, well, it means I just bear everything. No, you don't bear everything. There are some people who are called martyrs, you know. M-A-R-Y-T-R. Meaning that I'll just bear law. Tahan law. You hit me, never mind law. I'm not saying that. Don't be so foolhardy. When you have an offense, bring it to Jesus. When you understand what He did for you, let Him change your heart. Let Him fill your heart with love for the other person. That's why Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's why Stephen, a human being, imitating Christ, could say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Acts chapter 7, the last verse. Sorry, Acts chapter 8, the last verse. You know? No, 7, the last verse. We need to love one another. And by the way, all of us were... We will be offended by one another sometime or another. But because of the tendency to offend, Peter taught the Jewish church need to love one another. How? Number one, to love them fervently. The word fervently means to, without ceasing to reach out to them. Listen to this. This is important. You know, what you mean? I got to keep on loving the person, keep on loving the person, keep on loving the person. The Bible says yes. You love, have fervent charity. You know, fervent charity means I keep on reaching out. I keep on reaching out. If I reach out, I get slapped. I still reach out, I get slapped. I reach out, I still get slapped. I reach out, I still get slapped. Never mind, I'll still... The love of... Because you see, you are being hurt in the flesh, but your spirit is still strong with love for Jesus, and you don't care if that enemy is still hurting you. You are still going because you are not motivated by your flesh. You may get hurt, you may get slapped, but your heart is so strong with the love of Jesus Christ, you are still reaching out. That's why many of you got saved. Because Jesus, regardless of your rejection of Him, still reached out to you. Amen? Some of you have rejected Christ. I was just sharing with Brother Henry, you were saying how many years he rejected Christ, how many years you rejected Christ, but Jesus still reached out to you. And that's what it means, have fervent charity. The reason why we get angry is because we live in the flesh. We live in the flesh. And we need to give that up. This is to characterize our love for each other because charity itself is an action word. You know, Brother Johnny is so hard to love. You know what I need to do? Obey God. What do you mean? Just do what God says and God will then teach you to love. Turn to 1 John, all right? This is outside. But this is so important. Some people say, I feel like a hypocrite if I behave like this. You disobey God if you don't show love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. I'll just show you what it means. This fervent charity. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 5. When you are so obsessed with someone else's offenses, you cannot take it anymore. You hate the person, and you know you're a Christian. Listen to what God says. 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. I translate to Singlish. If you're willing to just do what God says, not Singlish, I just paraphrase. If you just do what God says, God will mature his love in you. In other words, you don't have it inside of you. You don't have it. But you know you're supposed to love. Say, all right, God. You told me to love my enemies. And Lord, he's hungry right now. I really wish he would starve to death. But God, because your word says to love your enemies and feed them when he's hungry, I'm bringing this plate of chicken rice to him. Now. Now. He's still hungry. Oh, no, Char Siew Rice. Nah. Eat lah. Hope it's nice, huh? And the third time. Why don't you go and love your enemies?
Why?
Steam chicken. Steam chicken. Nah, take it. With chili nicer, huh? Oh, too bad, okay. As you keep on doing it, when you don't have it inside of you, God says, because you are obedient, verily is the love of God matured. When you obey God. You know, it's very simple. How do you build your muscles? You don't have it. Just keep listening to the trainer. And you know what? Can I just be proud of Jairo for a while. He couldn't do chin-up 4 months ago. Now he can do four. Because everyone, when no one is watching, he will. And some of you have done that too. There were certain things that... Hannah, for example, can I use you? Hannah is a Filipino. She got A in Chinese. Hello. How many of us can get A in Chinese? Why? There are many China people who came beginning of the year, lowest in class in English, end of the year, top in the standard for English. Why? Every day she spends 6 hours in the dictionary and communicate, practice. You don't have it, but you're willing to listen to your trainers. God is saying, you don't have it in you, are you willing to listen to my word? Does that make sense? Have fervent charity. God didn't ask you to like everyone. But God did ask you to love everyone. The word love is an action word. You give to that person what he needs. And the more you love the person, the more you do things for the person, God will help you to love that person. Because you see, it is not your love, it's God's love. And if humanly, many Christians try to love humanly, they can't. That's why there's hatred. That's why there's unforgiveness. That's why I cannot get along with you. Why? It's all in the flesh. But if you are just willing to say, well, reach out. Have fervent reaching out to that person. You will overcome because God says you will. Number one, love each other fervently. And when the person really offends you, the Bible says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Some of you have people offended you so many times, but because you have learned to cover the multitude of sins, you know what I mean to cover a multitude of sins? It means that when, let's say, if someone offends me, or I offend someone, maybe I offend Jacob for whatever reason, I just offended him, in his love in Jesus, he said, all right, Brother Johnny offended me, God, you did more for me. And Lord, you have filled me with your love. So Lord, I mean, he cheated me of $50, so Lord, I'm just going to let it go. And the next time I talk to him, or rather, I wouldn't dare to talk to him because I've offended him. But you know what he would do? Hey, Brother Johnny, how are you? Come, let's go for coffee. I say, sorry, I will pay for $50. Don't worry about $50. Come, let's go for coffee. You know what? He just showed me mercy and grace. Covering the multitude of sins. I think Christians, we need to stop bringing up the past of each other. We need to deal with the past. If it's still there, deal with it. But then, if it's unable to be dealt with, God, we need to ask God's love to help us to just jump across and say, psh, it's all under the blood. Let's go. Life is short. That's Peter's message. Life is short. You know, by also being open-hearted to one another. The Bible talks about use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, when you invite someone to your, or someone asks you, you say, yeah, I actually don't wish to invite this boy, but never mind, no choice. He say he want to come, come lah, never mind, okay lah, come lah, come lah. Don't be there. When you really want to invite someone, that use hospitality. In other words, when people, basically in those days, there were a lot of missionaries who were going out to preach the gospel, and inns are a very terrible place. During the first century, the hotels and all that, they're actually notorious for immorality. It's not very good for a preacher to be staying there. All right? And so, Peter says, whenever there's someone, just bring them into your house. As Christians, if you're a Christian and there's a preacher, bring him in and treat one another without grudging. You know, Pino is a preacher. No, ah, preacher, very nice. Oh, sit down, sit down. Cook rice for him. Peter said, don't do that. Welcome one another with the love of Christ. And don't do it without. That's why in 2 John, I believe, or 3 John, whereby John also says, exercise hospitality to those preachers who come. Okay? And so that's where being open-hearted, be willing to entertain strangers. In 3 John 1:5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Remember, when you take care of another Christian who needs, Jesus says this, as much as you have done it to one of the least of these brethren, you have done it to me. You know, VBS workers, can I encourage you, whenever you lead someone to Jesus Christ, or you are just there to help a young child crying, Jesus said, if you have done it to the least of this, you have done so to me. It's a blessing to be in the children's ministry. Of course, other ministries as well is important. But you know, when you touch the life of a child, when a child comes to you, I want teacher so and so, it blesses your heart. And that's what God wants us to learn, to be hospitable, be open-hearted. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:5, all right? And I'll quickly finish point 3. But 1 Timothy 1:5, I just read this, and I hope God can speak to us through this. Now the end, or the outcome, or the reward of the commandment, 1 Timothy 1:5 is actually in the bulletin, the end or the result or the outcome of the commandment is what? Charity out of pure heart. Paul told Timothy, the genuine outcome of our obedience is God changing your heart to one another. Charity out of a pure heart. Of course, and of a good conscience and of faith and faith. Number one, we need to be sober, serious-minded because time is short. Number two, we need to be loving one another because time is short. And number three, we need to be serving the Lord because time is short. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As everyone had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Different people here have received different types of grace from God to deal with our life situation, to ministry. You know what God says? Whatever grace that God has given to you, it is not kept for yourself only. Hello? If you have a stable family, that is God's grace. You steward that grace and be a blessing to someone else who may not have that kind of stable family. Does it make sense? You have received God's grace. Use it to bless someone else. That's why in the children's ministry, I'm just using it as an example. I hope you're not thinking I'm this cute just to the children's ministry, but you know, there are many children who come from broken families. And that's where we can show the love of Christ to them just by receiving the love from Christ and we are giving it to them. As every man has received the gift, every believer, God has given gifting, spiritual gifting for you to use for God. We are to use it to serve. The Bible says, let him, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Because God has given you spiritual gifts, you are to, in the church, use it for one another. That's what, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In Luke chapter 19, verse 12 and 13, it's actually in your passage there. The Bible says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Christians, can I just say this? Jesus has left. He has called every Christian and he has said, I'm giving you 10 pounds. Occupy till I come. Where's your 10 pounds? Today, Where's your 10 pounds today? If you're a Christian, you have 10 pounds. Spiritually speaking, God has given us opportunities, abilities, and gifting. Where's the 10 pounds? Because Jesus' instruction is occupy till I come. The word occupy means, as a servant, my master has given me an instruction. He has given me some money. He says, I want you to do this, this, this with this. I want you to do it while I'm away. You know what the servant will do? The servant is not just going to wait for the master to come. All right? The master is going to come back. Time is short. I'm going to use whatever master has given to me, and I'm going to do exactly what he wants me to do before he comes back. Does that make sense? Question for you. Are you doing that? I say again, life is not just about doing your responsibilities in this life. God did not save you just to be a worker in a factory or a company. God saved you so that it could be that He wants you to reach someone for Jesus Christ. And all that you have to do is to reach that person. What does God want you to do with your life? Time is short. And you know what? The first thing is this, serve. We need to be serving the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. How do we serve the Lord? Number one, by using our spiritual gifts faithfully. 1 Peter 4:10. And then secondly, by speaking His word. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. When we give counsel and advice to someone else, whether from the pulpit or personally, be it from the word of God, or at least base it on the principles of God's word. Listen to this. Every instruction as a Christian we give to another Christian should always point them to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Shouldn't be to yourself. Shouldn't to make you feel good. But always point them to Jesus Christ. And that is an important principle, because there are many people giving advices in the world that will make your life better but never point you to Christ. Think about that for a while. Now, for myself, as I'm thinking a lot about all these things, like says things like, it's not just good enough to be a good wife, you need to be a godly wife. It's not just good to give good advice, you need to be giving godly advice. We need to point people back to Christ. We need to speak as it is the word of God. We need to speak God's word. We need to serve. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I just quickly just wrap up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. We need to serve God in God's strength. You know, many of us are tired in the VBS. Many of us will be tired in the youth camp. But you know what? Our strength is limited, but God's strength is unlimited. Peter says, serve God in His strength. Don't try to use your strength. Don't try to use your wisdom. Use His strength and His wisdom. In other words, when you are tired, say, God, I am very tired, but God strengthen me. I will go in your strength. And you do it. And you just trust the Lord and go. And then to glorify Him, you serve God. In 1 Peter 4:11, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. This phrase is important. In all your service, does it point people to Christ or to yourself or to myself? Or do I get a bigger following? Or does Jesus get a bigger following? Remember what John the Baptist says? It's okay, I know you are jealous for me. Remember in John chapter 3? But John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's okay if I don't get a following, but it's important that Jesus gets a following in my ministry. As we close, how are you spending your time? Three things. Are you being serious-minded and watching unto prayer? Are you loving one another? Even in your families, start there. And number three, are we serving the Lord? And dear friend, God didn't ask us, didn't save us just to do our own thing. God saved us to do His work. Let's live in an urgency of time. I don't know what God will do in your life. I'm praying that God will use this message to change some hearts. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, just commit the message into your hands. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And so I'm asking you to change hearts as you see. Lord, time is short. Father, I know some are tired because of the VBS, but I pray, Lord, in this urgent time that they will focus and just pay attention, Lord, as you work in their hearts. With eyes closed, heads bowed, that someone will say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. I need to live with a sense of urgency. Is there someone like that? Just put out a hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. That hand too, it's someone else. It's about you and God, you know? Just like Peter, he went through the trial, but Jesus went through the trial, but Jesus had to face his own trial, and Peter has his face his own trial, but what is the thing you're going through? And say, God, I need to surrender to you first. Is there someone else? Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me that I would live with a sense of urgency. Is there someone? Amen, I see that hand. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the brethren that put up their hands, and I'm praying, Father, that their hearts will continue to be tender, that you'll use them, Lord, for the glory of God. I pray right now as we move on, Father, and well, for a testimony for the two sisters to share, Lord, the testimony for baptism, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will touch their hearts and touch our hearts even as we hear these testimonies. We thank you. Strengthen our resolve to live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.